الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير
الحكيم.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف اللہ وعلى آله وسلم تسلیم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, many regions were conquered, and by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all were annexed with the Islamic Empire. What we need to understand is that many of the companions and senior military generals and commanders during the era of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, many of them had passed away, or many of them had attained martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had the likes of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, in fact even alive during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, another very famous general, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala an, very powerful during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. You had people who were connected with Khalid bin Walid, Hazrat Ka'ka, Hazrat Zirar, many alhamdulillah Muslim generals. Many of them had attained shahadat or had passed away. But alhamdulillah, despite their absence, these great military generals, the deen of Islam continued spreading. And alhamdulillah, Islam in its nature is progressive and would only want to spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in His beautiful, glorious speech, Surah As-Saff. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has sent His Nabi with guidance. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. And one must not doubt Islam. Allah says, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. Islam is a true religion. MashaAllah. Don't doubt that when you die, what will happen? When you die, only that will happen which has been explained to you by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything else is false. The true religion is Islam. Adam alaihi salam was a Muslim. Nuh alaihi salam was a Muslim. Ibrahim alaihi salam was a Muslim. Musa alaihi salam was a Muslim. Isa alaihi salam was a Muslim. Anbiya alaihi salatu was salam were all obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam is this unbroken connection to all of the prophets. Alhamdulillah. So Allah says, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. And this religion is a true religion. لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And Islam will prevail over all. All the religions that you know, all the groups, the denominations that are out there. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if this is unpleasing, unsoothing to the kuffar, even if they don't like that, Allah says, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. So this is the innate condition of Islam, that it is progressive, it will spread. Alhamdulillah, from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until today, more and more people are attracted to Islam, and bi fazlillah they are embracing Islam. So many regions were conquered even during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, despite the fact that possibly famous names were not there. But alhamdulillah, great mujahideen were also on the side of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. And one is worthy of mentioning, a very important character. In fact, it would not be right for me just to continue with the seerah of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, but until we have mentioned the name of this great, great Muslim general, whose name is Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais. What is his name? Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais. Alhamdulillah, we should be in touch with Islamic history. Very, very important. Ahnaf ibn Qais, a very powerful man. In fact, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, he played the most important role, a pivotal role. The entire eastern section of the Islamic Khilafat of the Muslim army was under his control. A young man, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened up many regions at the hands of Ahnaf ibn Qais. He went on and he conquered regions upon regions, lands upon land, subhanallah, and giving it to the Muslim Khalif, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, a very powerful man. Now this man was not a Sahabi. This man was not a Sahabi, but rather he was a senior Tabi'i. Now there were a lot of companions alive, of course, even at the time of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, but this very high position was given to him. He was not even a Sahabi, but a Tabi'i. A Tabi'i is that man who has stayed in the company of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een, and a senior Tabi'i would mean the one who has stayed in the company of possibly at least one of the Khulafa-i Rashideen. Ahnaf ibn Qais was a man who stayed in the company of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, and also Hazrat Ali Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'een. A very powerful man. Scholars have mentioned about his character that he was very, very humble. Very, very humble, but at the same time of a very dynamic personality. And you'll find generally that great people have this quality in them. When you see them, they are very, very humble. But because of the level of taqwa, alhamdulillah, that is inside them, they have a very dynamic personality. And Ahnaf bin Qais was a similar man, a great tabi'i. It is said that he would run away from fame, status and honor, that fame, status and honor would pursue him. This was the type of character that was given to Ahnaf bin Qais, gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many words of wisdom uttered by him, scholars have recorded many words of wisdom which he spoke to. In fact, when it came to selecting his own officers, he would look at four things. He would often say that, if four things, four qualities are found in a person, then most definitely that man would be the leader of his community. And he said that the first quality is that his religious duty or his religious commitment would restrain him, in a sense that the level of taqwa would be in him so that he does not cross the boundary and plunge into the zone of haram. So he must be a man who has taqwa and who has self-control. A man who understands and who has control. At the right time, he knows what is halal and he knows what is haram. It doesn't mean that you're in Leicester, you're a good Muslim. And you go out on a holiday, you start failing your duties that are of farz to you. And you miss your fajr or you miss your zuhr, or you're a different person when you're somewhere else. A man must be a man of taqwa in all conditions. So this is what Ahnaf ibn Qais said. And then he said, secondly, he said he should be of a good lineage so that there is a lot of protection that is given to him, of a sound family background. And the third thing what he said is that he should be a man who has been gifted with wisdom. Wisdom guides a person. Now I spoke about this also today in Jumu'ah, wisdom is a great blessing, a na'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find a lot of people have knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge. One is knowledge and one is hikmah, wisdom. How you apply the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And if you have knowledge and wisdom, subhanallah, a great man. That is why scholars have mentioned anyone who studies the Quran with sincerity, with taqwa, Allah opens the knowledge and the nur of the Quran and this man becomes a hakeem. As Allah says, Yaseen wal Quranil hakeem. The Quran makes a person into a hakeem. That is why when a person becomes a da'i, the one who invites people towards Islam, the first ruling is, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Bil hikmah. You must be a man who has a lot of intelligence, knowledge, and at the same time, a man who is very wise. These are important qualities in a person. Once Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma saw an old man doing wuzu. An old man doing wuzu. And when they saw him doing wuzu, they noted that this man's failing to carry out some of the important sunan acts of wuzu. But then if they were to directly approach him, if Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an was to say, or Hazrat Hussein was to say to someone who's much senior and older in age, he might take an offense to that. It's not easy. Nowadays in the society that we live in, people suffer from ageism. And when you're too old, and when you're too young, you'll find that a lot of the people don't want to accept someone who's too young. Someone who's too young, because you have senior people that are there. This should not be the case. Subhanallah. Hazrat Osama bin Zaid, who was appointed by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the last phase of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, towards the northern section of Madinatul Munawwara to carry out jihad with the other tribes that were there. He was only 18 years of age. You had Hazrat Umar there, you had Hazrat Khalid bin Walid there, you had senior companions, Hazrat Uthman, all the Khulafa'i Rashideen, you had the Ashra'i Mubashra that were there. But Allah's Nabi selects a young man who's only 18 years of age. And today when you look at our 18-year-old youths, they won't even know how to read Surah Al-Fatiha properly. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Because after they finish madrasa, that is it. They don't want to touch the Quran. They have no understanding of tajweed. They have no understanding of the Quran. They have no connection with the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they are poisoned because of the society that we live in. The laptop becomes the Quran. The laptop becomes the Quran. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So we have to be very, very careful. Alhamdulillah. And this is a great blessing that Allah has made namaz farz. It's an obligation. So that you have to stop whatever you're doing and spiritually connect yourself to Allah. Spiritually connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be prepared. Connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wisdom is a great ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all wisdom. And so both of them, grandsons of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at this old man doing wudu incorrectly. And how do we approach him? Subhanallah. Both of them, the brothers, go to this man and they say, oh my dear father, we want to see who is doing wudu in accordance to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want you to be the judge between us. We want you to be the judge between us. And so both brothers, Hassan and Hussein, started doing, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, started doing wudu in front of this man. And so this man is watching how the two grandsons of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam are doing wudu. And subhanallah, equally both the wudu were in accordance to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When wudu was completed, this old man himself came and he confessed and he said, my sons, your wuzu is in accordance to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, you have corrected for me some of my mistakes. Jazakallah khair. This is wisdom. You could have approached that person in a different way, in a hard-hitting manner. What are you doing? It's against the sunnah. Or directly say to him, this is a mistake. And again, you can approach someone in a very sweet manner. And this is something we need to adopt in the society that we live in today. Even the husbands with their partners, and the wife with the husbands, and the parents with the children, and the imam with the musalli. I'm not too bad, am I? If that is the case, you must tell me, of course. And the musalli with the imam. So we must have this love, subhanallah. Of course, at the right time, even the doctors sometimes have to amputate some parts of the body. It all depends. So in some cases, aggression is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais said that wisdom that guides a person, and then he said the fourth thing, he said haya, modesty that guards a person. Modesty that guards a person. So these are the four things Ahnaf ibn Qais would look into a person if he was to appoint someone as his officer. Not the qualifications, but he would look at the khuluq, the character. Subhanallah. And if you become shameless and there is no modesty in you, you become basharam, فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, then you are not bothered. You're not bothered of whatever the community will speak about you, good or bad, and you will continue. So these are the four qualities that he has mentioned. In fact, he would even say that good manners is the best thing you could inherit. Good manners is the best inheritance. And he said that good manners is expressed by good words. Good manners are expressed by good words, the words that come out from you. So this man, subhanallah, he was a teacher in all subjects, in all disciplines. Not only was he a great mujahid, but also a great faqih and a great scholar of his time, a muhaddis of his time, a great tabi'i. He has narrated hadith from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, from Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and also from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. In fact, after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when many of the tribes were becoming murtad, apostating from Islam, he was firm and steadfast. And in fact, he gave a lot of strength to his tribe. A famous man, and it is said about Ahnaf ibn Qais that he made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara only to stay in the company of who? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And to be his student. Now brothers, you can imagine how difficult it is for anyone to be under Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. His level of taqwa. And he stayed in his company for 1 year. And after 1 year, Hazrat Umar looked at him and said to him, Ahnaf, I have tested you. Ahnaf, I have tested you in your taqwa, in your Islam, in your character. And I see nothing but good in you. Allahu Akbar. This is Ahnaf ibn Qais being tested by Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. I see nothing but good in you. Now imagine, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een are alive, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an decides to appoint Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais as a leader for the tribe or for the people of Basra. So he became the leader for the people of Basra. The main man, Ahnaf ibn Qais, the people of Basra knew him to be a great leader. And he said to Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala an, a sahabi, that whenever you need to take important decisions, make sure you consult with Ahnaf ibn Qais. Now Abu Musa al-Ashari is a sahabi, and Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais is a tabi'i. A sahabi is being told by Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab to consult who? Ahnaf ibn Qais, rahmatullah alayh. So a great man, subhanallah, a very brave soldier, a great Muslim general, the entire eastern section of the Muslim Empire, all of the armies were under his control, and he was the man in charge. A very brave man. It is said that he would not want to expose his men to danger, but he would be the first one to expose himself to danger. This was Sayyidina Ahnaf ibn Qais rahmatullah alayh, and even radiyallahu ta'ala an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his position in this dunya, in the hereafter, in the qabr, in alam-e barzakh, and also in Jannah. MashaAllah, another very important campaign during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an is the campaign of Cyprus. The campaign of Cyprus. Now, Hazrat, going back to the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, just to explain to you the connection of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, he was alive during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and also Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. Of course, Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an's sister, Hazrat Habiba, was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remember, Abu Sufyan was the enemy of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he had embraced Islam when Makkatul Mukarramah was conquered. So he is the son of Abu Sufyan, Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Muawiyah had urged Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and had put a lot of pressure on him that permission must be given to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah to mobilize a very powerful Muslim navy. A very powerful Muslim navy. But every time Hazrat Amir Muawiyah would put pressure, Hazrat Umar would say no. Hazrat Umar would say no. Until too much pressure was put on Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah said that we have to change our strategy. We have to change our strategy. Remember, the Muslims were masters in fighting on land and also in the desert. But they were not exposed to the seas and the ocean. So eventually, as the expansion of Muslim territory took place, Muslims had to rethink. And there was this need to look at a different strategy to protect the entire Mediterranean coast that was there. And so Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an then asked Hazrat Amr ibn al-As, Amr ibn al-As, because Hazrat Umar was in Madinatul Munawwara. And so he said to Amr ibn al-As, Amr, describe to me the seas that touch the Islamic border. Describe to me the seas and the ocean that touch the Islamic border. Now, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an is on a mission to describe to him how the seas are. So he wrote in Arabic, and this is the translation. He said to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, oh ho, you want me to describe the ocean, the seas? It is like riding on a very dangerous creature. It is like riding on a very dangerous creature. The waves. Now remember, we're not talking about 2009. We're talking about the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And he said that it is like riding on a very dangerous creature. If it is calm, if the waves are calm, it would still scare you. Even if the waves, if the water is calm, it would still scare you. And if it moves, you would lose your mind. And if the waves come at you, you would lose your mind, you would lose your memory. Allahu Akbar. And then he said that the sailors are like worms on a stick. What did he say? That the sailors are like worms on a stick. If it tilts, they all drown. If it tilts, they all drown. If it is saved, you'd still be astonished. You'd still be astonished. Now, according to him, if they are saved, they are saved. But if it tilts, they all drown. When this description was given to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, Allahu Akbar, he said to Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, that one Muslim is more dearer to me than the entire Byzantine Empire. One Muslim is more dearer to me than the entire Byzantine Empire. He said, no, not whilst I am alive. No Muslim navy. At the moment I have to concentrate Subhanallah, in a lot of the military engagements, Muslims were fighting on land at that time. Eventually, when Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed away, then came Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. Again, same pressure put on him from Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. Amir Muawiyah, an incredible man. Honestly, it would take me 6 months of Darse Hadith if we touch on Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. What a man Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is. A great, great Sahabi of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Katibe Way, again putting pressure on Hazrat Uthman that we have to change our strategy. And it is nothing big for the Muslims to engage in a military expedition by sea. So reconsider what I am saying. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and gave it a lot of thought. And he said that I give you permission, but only if you feel it is safe for the Muslims to venture out in the sea, I give you permission. And one condition was that if you feel that it is so safe that you would be prepared to take with you on this expedition your wife. Your wife. And you would give a choice to the Muslim soldiers, no force, that you have to come. A choice is given to them. That this is a complete different strategy adopted by the Muslims, so a choice must be given. So if you feel it is safe and you would take the women folks with you, only then I give permission. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah carefully thought about it and he said that most definitely I would take my wife. And he took his wife Hazrat Fakhita. He took his wife Hazrat Fakhita with him on this expedition. Now this expedition was towards Cyprus. Now Cyprus is not Cyprus what we know today. Cyprus continued all the way towards the region of Turkey, and Kustuntunya, Istanbul, was the capital of Cyprus at that time. Now what would happen is that that region was very vulnerable for the Muslims. They had to protect the seas because there was a possibility. The Byzantine Empire possessed a very powerful military navy and at any time could land towards the Mediterranean coast and where the borders are. And in order to protect Palestine, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was concerned that Palestine must be protected and also Syria must be protected. And later on also Egypt will be conquered and Egypt has to be protected also. So the Byzantines were using Cyprus as a launching pad. As a launching pad. Every time they were very low in supplies, they would go to Cyprus and the Cypriots would fully equip them, give them food, give them all the provisions. And in fact, they were allies to the Byzantines. And Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and took permission that we need to go first and take control of Cyprus. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah read the letter to the people, to the Muslims, that was written by Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Uthman gave them a choice. Subhanallah, thousands of people wanted to take part in this expedition. Subhanallah, just shows the love that people had for jihad to spread Islam. Not only men were recruited, but even women in the hundreds came. Women came, including the wife of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And one lady that must be mentioned is Hazrat Haram. Hazrat Haram. And this is something very, very important that we need to remember. Hazrat Haram is a special lady. A lady who was married to Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala an. Very often Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would visit the family and she would cook food for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah's Nabi would do qailullah and rest at her house. So Hazrat Haram, this lady who participated in this campaign of Cyprus, it is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam once came to visit her and she prepared a meal for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam rested. When he woke up, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a smile on his face. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling today? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Umm Haram, today I saw a dream. Nasun min ummati urizu alayya ghuzatan fi sabilillah yarkabuna thabaja hadhal bahar. And he said that a dream was shown to me that a group of my ummah was shown to me who were traveling through the middle of the seas like kings on thrones, with the intention to wage jihad fi sabilillah. With the intention to wage jihad fi sabilillah, campaigning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi was smiling. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I am amongst them. Make dua that I am amongst them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands and made dua, and he rested again. And then he fell asleep. Again he woke up. Again he started to smile. Again she said, Ya Rasulullah, you smile. Again Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated the entire dream to her. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I am amongst the people of the dream that you have seen. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you are one of them because I have seen you in my dream. SubhanAllah. This was the prophecy and the prediction of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Glad tidings that came true in the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was the leader for the Muslims. The first Muslim navy to be mobilized. And alhamdulillah, many mujahideen were with Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and they had touched the soil of Cyprus for the first time. SubhanAllah, death comes to anyone at any time, and everything is written in your taqdeer, predestiny, fate has been written, death can come at any time. It is said that Hazrat Haram saw the island of Cyprus, and she was sitting on her conveyance, the animal, and all of a sudden something happened to this animal. The animal spooked, and Hazrat Haram fell to the ground. When she fell, she received a lot of head injury, and in that injury she passed away. So until today, the grave of Hazrat Haram is in that part of the region. So Cyprus has got a lot of rich Islamic history. A lot of rich Islamic history. And subhanallah, the Muslims, they did not want to invade Cyprus, but wanted to take control of Cyprus. And they met up with some of the people and said that we are not here to invade, but to invite you towards the worship of one Allah and to accept Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final Nabi. These were very arrogant people, the Cypriots, and they closed the door, barricaded themselves, did not want to speak to the Muslims. SubhanAllah, again, if you do that to the Muslims, what would the Muslims do? Hazrat Amir Muawiyah immediately besieged the capital, Qustuntunia, and they had no choice but to surrender to the Muslims. And they agreed to all of the terms to the Muslims. All of the terms. And Hazrat Amir Muawiyah said that you have to pay jizya to the Muslim Khilafat, 7,200 dinars per year for the protection, and that you can no longer be allies of the Byzantine Empire. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue from this in the next session of Darsi Hadith. Just to continue furthermore also with what happens to the Muslim army in also Syria and also Egypt. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dua karle. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.